My beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all of you. The church may be invisible, but let her not be inaudible. The apostolic warning is a warning to stand fast in freedom. Solemnly, the apostle says it. Does he say it to us? Are we in any danger of slipping back into the yoke of slavery? The apostle says yes. Jesus would say yes. And Israel's history screams at us, yes. For the law of God that binds us not only expresses the will of how God created us to be his living creatures, the law of God also binds us now to our sin. We are like that shepherd god, Proteus, who, whenever you would approach him, although he might know it, you would never tell it, he tied him down. God binds us to ourself till we become weary with it, trying to change it, puffing it up, pushing it out, knocking other people down with it, and ending up finally with a sigh. God binds us to himself. Absolutely. He will not let us escape our creature life. We depend on each other. We get our very lives from the bodies of other people. And we want, in order to get out of that, to become cannibals. We devour and bite and chew on each other. You don't have to look only at Afghanistan or South Africa to look at the congregation or the sin. Our fangs have become sharp. Pressure is on because God binds us on. He binds us to love. And so when we want to buy ourselves out of that bind, what we do is we use our neighbor. We have words for love too. They have nothing to do with what God has in mind. But we use ourselves and each other. God gives a law, shall make the Sabbath holy. But we have no rest from the law, for the law relentlessly and absolutely binds us to God in our restlessness. That we have. And the law, which binds us so, is seen by us, therefore, either as something ignored. Those of you who have read the reading of Nehemiah scheduled for today saw Nehemiah talking about how Israel simply went deaf and turned their back on the law, as if by violence we could escape. And those who become religious see the law in their own hands to use it against God. Circumcision had become a signal that the people belonged to God and to the people of God. Now it had become a tripwire. If I get myself circumcised, then I can pull the tripwire and God must do what he said. That's legalism. Legalism is not absoluteness about the law. Legalism is the opinion that you can take the law of God and by your zeal for it, not by doing it, but by your zeal for it, that you can persuade that he is. And you can even scold God and judge God when he lets you get sick or fail, or when he finally lets death take you. Zeal for the law. It's like our time. Zeal for the Bible, but not study. Breathing heavily about it and ignoring what it says, going our own way, making our own devices. The freedom that comes by the law, in our opinion, is a bought freedom. We buy it. And we merchandise with God's world and God's people to get it. We use other people to show how excellent we are. Or we use God's thing that by our work, which appeared to be works of love for somebody else, we were scoring brownie points in order to be sure we could buy the freedom. But it is a melancholy story because you know it and I know it. The only ones who don't know it are those who become so proud in their righteousness that all they can do is see God as their enemy and kill him, and see their neighbor as a fool and evil person and put them down. Is there any end to that melancholy pattern? Is there any? And if there is, come out and buy it. Don't buy it. Or want it. Melancholy with our misery is the way God is cross. The absolute God will not be pacified by the holocaust of millions of Jews, or by the destruction of Israel, or by the blatherings of sin. The absolute is dealt with only by absolution. For the cross laid up is but one made the holocaust sacrifice for the entire. Stand fast in the freedom which you have been set. For if you go back again to this merchandising thought, buying, for if that is the compulsion that drives your religiosity, even past the work of preaching and teaching and scholarly research, then Christ, because Christ is the dead of that absent fall. There is no other way, no other form, no other path. And Christ is not received by merchandise. Now you must listen carefully. Because since the Reformation, it has become stylish to talk about faith. There are some famous events preacher, they give you steps on how to perform, as if you could be offered your neck to be your own father and come into the will of God by it, by faith. Or there are those who imagine that if you will properly lay out the style of how you ought to behave, smoke, drink, chew, and don't go over to do, and then you'll read the Bible. And so behavior patterning becomes a new way that we are going to get the freedom. The cross kills not only our sin, the cross of Jesus kills our righteousness. Let it die. Because like Proteus, who wouldn't tell the truth until he was tied down, God gave the absolute command to nail us down right on the cross. Jesus' death is for us. There is no other death. Even if you become the most religious, sacrificing yourself, and become full of humility and full of truth, there is no way that you can find, because it's a series by faith. And faith is that patient God himself in us. It is that birth of Christ's work brought by his Spirit out. God's law absolutely demands us to be in fellowship with him, to trust him above all things, and to love him with all our heart, and to fear him more than anything else. It is only in that Lord Jesus Christ that it is absolutely true about the only way to deal with the absolute is by absolution. For in baptism, he is the one who takes himself. He crucifies you. This is not the serious self-suicide of the Spirit. He takes you into his death and into his burial, and he raises you from the dead by faith to live in the forgiveness. Then let us live the path that you are not by this is what you are born. Now born again, object of birth, watch out. Born again as if it were something we could do. Know your need, know your sin. Get on your knees and pray this little prayer by accepting Jesus. Your heart. Bam! Got it. If we tried that on physiologic, it would be a grotesque monstrosity. that everybody conceiving and sizing himself. Rather, there's only one. Work of the Spirit. That's it. That's it. And baptism is not a sign for rebirth at some point. It's the beginning of the difference. And that is God who causes Christ by his Spirit born again. But you can't be born again. We devour, destroy, fight, chew them. And we get our tricks like Abraham. Maybe if I had Hagar for a night, I could desire a son. And he did. He was very successful. He could do it probably every 10 months. But that wasn't the son of a free woman. He was a slave man. Son of being. God's very blessed. Who are called delicate. Gospelers. Who are called Catholic. Well, this is the whole truth. About the whole way, for the whole life, for the whole world. Don't accept it. Stand fast. And the struggle begins always. It's not in the public or in the womb first, the battle, but the pressure of the absolute God with his absolute law nails you down. Are you like Proteus going to squirm and squeal and run and hide and buy? Give your neighbor, bite and devour? No, you are free. That's not free for God. Do not fall for grace. Free. Let a faith energetically slave. Don't worry. If people take advantage, don't worry. He's a God who has fallen in the parts of life, Christ, for life, Christ.